Welcome to Syndicated Thursday on HPR. Today we present 10 Book Review.
This is Kilroy 2.0, and when I'm not amassing my flock or helping author J.C. Hutchins with Seventh Son Descent at jchutchins.net, I like to listen to 10buckreview.net to discover what's the best finds you can get for under 10 bucks.
Welcome to 10 Buck Review, where we sit down and review the best or the worst of movies you can find for under 10 bucks.
And I'm believe the host. We've seen some of the worst.
I'm your host, Lord Drakenblut. With me, we have, of course,
the White Wolf.
And returning,
Night Child.
And now a new victim of the show.
Dun, dun, dun.
Title step.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
All right,
it,
folks.
It works.
And we have a classic today.
A movie I haven't seen in about 15 to 20 years.
And the movie is now over, well, it's over 25 years. It was released in 1983. And we're talking about the all-time classic that introduced to a generation the concept, do you want to play a game?
The movie War Games.
Yes. And since he's the new victim, I think we'll start off by letting him describe
the cover art.
Cover art of the movie here.
Let's see.
Might want to hold the mic a little bit closer.
Yes, I know.
Yes, light must have Aziz, light!
We will get to that one.
Ooh, cool!
I actually have it on DVD.
So do I.
Anywho. Primitive?
Yes.
Come on. Come on, Shadow Step.
Dude, we gotta know what the cover looks like. Let the public know. Yes, darling, please let the public know.
Background, a lot of computer-generated...
Should I take over?
Yes.
Okay, let's see now. Have a classic look of black background overlaid with obvious computer-aided graphics of ships and missiles and so on. Basic 1980s U.S. military world grid with possible nuclear missile destinations and paths and so on, with the little biohazard signs here, there, and everywhere. Dead center, we have our two main characters set looking out, like up at the sky. And then just below that, we have the United States of America... United States... United Department of Defense of America seal with the two of them running along, and at the very, very bottom it says, is it a game or is it real?
Now, the one thing you're leaving out on the top bar of
this. Oh, yes, the very top bar, very blue bar with the letters in silver, 25th Anniversary Edition.
Yes. And now we'll go back to Shadow Step here to see if he is capable of reading the description on the back.
All right, don't pick on him too much. This is his first try at this.
Before we let him get to reading that, we'll allow Nightchild here to describe the back cover.
Oh, wait, my Pokemon game, damn you.
Yes, put away the crack.
You have no idea. My kids got me hooked on Pokemon, and now I'm playing it incessantly. Okay, Matthew Broderick, everybody knows that name. Ferris Bueller's Day Off, and Ally Sheedy, The Breakfast Club. Really sad that that's what she's being known for. Star in this compelling drama filled with action, suspense, and high-tech adventures. Featuring superb performances by Dabney Coleman and Barry Corbin. War Games is brilliant, funny, and provocative. New York, a fast-paced cyber thriller. Computer hacker David Lightman Broderick can bypass the most advanced security systems. Yeah, wouldn't hold a candle to today's hackers.
Hell no.
Break the most intricate secret codes and master even the most difficult computer games. But when he unwittingly taps into the Defense Department's war computer, he initiates a confrontation of global proportions, World War III. Together with his girlfriend, Sheedy, and a wizardly computer genius, Tony Award winner John Wood, David must race against time to outwit his opponent and prevent a nuclear Armageddon. Okay.
Nuclear Armageddon again?
Yeah, how many times?
Third time this week.
How many times have we heard that?
And two of them were because I went to White Castle's.
Oh, God, no, not White Castle, please, no!
Jesus. And to think, I live with this guy all the time. See?
No, no, no. We're not talking about Lord Drunkenblue. We're talking about me, the White Wolf.
Yes. Sadly, if you've listened to TBR, you know we got married last April, so.
Ha-ha.
Special features. Loading War Games documentary. Attack of the Hackers featurette. Inside NORAD. Cold War Fortress featurette. Tic-Tac-Toe. A True Story featurette. Interactive superpower weapons briefing gallery, sneak peek at War Games The Dead Code, original theatrical trailer. Oh, wow. They made,
yeah, that,
they made another
that, one. That makes all just things, just brings things so far into perspective, it's ridiculous. I mean, today's computer hackers, they're used to using, you know, high-tech weaponry of so on and so forth, and gotta realize, back in the day, it was a Commodore 64 or something of that accord and a phone on top of a piece of machinery.
It was called a coupler modem.
Thank you.
And the
you gotta
thing
realize,
is,
I never knew what that was.
And the
so.
Thing is, a lot of the tricks he uses in this to get where he's going still apply today.
Oh, yeah. That's the funny part. I mean, it is literally the root of all hacking.
Okay, root of all evil. Same difference. Okay, got a list of big names everybody knows, which is kind of unusual for this show. Usually we've got a bunch of no-names that haven't done anything else.
Only on the episodes you've been on so far.
Ah.
Well, what do you expect? A lot of these guys...
Well, we'll get into the people here in a few, so let's skip on to this... section down here about what features it has.
Language, audio, English, Spanish, French, captioned, and widescreen.
Yay, widescreen!
Digital, subtitled in English, subtitled in Spanish, 1983 color, 113 minutes, dual layer.
And now, back to Shadow Step here to describe the DVD art itself.
Yes. Now that you have an idea of what we're people are looking for, it's all good.
Yeah. Alrighty then. Background. Traditional black inlaid with the green aspects of computer-generated old-school targeting systems. You know, missile trajectories, ships, biohazards. And the
yay biohazard.
The MGM logo.
Yeah.
And the federal anti-piracy logo right below it.
Oh joy!
Go blow it out your nose.
Nose? Hell, I was saying I was gonna get ready to say go blow it out your ass. Remember, we're not being politically correct.
And at the top, in a purplish-blue background and silver letters, 25th anniversary edition.
Yay!
And the two main characters running.
Yes, why? Because they're running for their fucking lives!
All right. Now, we've actually got a pretty thick stack of notes here because
yeah,
I was a little
like
nasy. Now, this is at 44 pages from the original 68.
Oh,
with
damn.
The trimming I did.
Wow.
Now, this movie was directed by John Badham, and the two writers were Lawrence Lasker and Walter F. Parks.
Walter F. Parks. Why does that name sound familiar?
I'm not sure, but we'll find out.
Okay.
Now, the cast list, we've got Matthew Broderick as David, Dabney Coleman as McKittrick, John Wood as Falcon, Ally Sheedy as Jennifer, Barry Corbin as Jennifer Berenger, Junan Clay as Pat Healy, Kent Williams as Cabot, Dennis Lipscomb as Watson, Joe Dorsey as Connolly.
Wait a minute, Watson?
Yes, Watson.
So where's the hell Sherlock?
I think he ended up in a nuke.
Oh, okay.
Joe Dorsey as Connolly, Irving Metzman as Richter, Michael Ensign as Berenger's aide, William Bogert, Mr. Lightman, Susan Davis, Miss Lightman, James Tolkien as Nigan, and David Clover as Stockman.
Stockman. For crying out loud, what in the hell is with that name and the U.S. government? Out of all the U.S. government movies I've seen, some character has the name of Stockman. What the hell?
All right, we'll let Wolf here read off the list of movies that John Badham has directed.
Ooh. Okay, let's see now. 1997, Incognito. 1995, Nick of Time. I've seen that movie, not too bad. 1994, Drop Zone. 1993, Another Stakeout. 1993, Point of No Return. Ooh. That's one I haven't seen for a while. 1991, The Hard Way. 1990, Bird on a Wire. 1987, Stakeout. 1986, Short Circuit. Awesome movie. 1985, American Flyers. Another good movie. 1983, War Games. 83, Blue Thunder. Oh my God, a train wreck if I ever saw one. 81, Whose Life Is It Anyway? 1979, Dracula. Which version?
The 1979 Dracula.
You kind of...
Okay, is it the one with... never mind. 1977, Saturday Night Fever. Holy shit, the same year I was born. 1976, The Bingo Long Traveling All-Stars and Motor Kings. Wow, that's a hell of a title. 1971 to 1973, Night Gallery. Holy cow, I like that. He actually did 1973, The Doll of Death, and 72, You Can Come Up Now, Mrs. Millican/Smith, Please. Oh, okay, it's one of the episodes. 72, The Girl with the Hungry Eyes. 72, Green Fingers / The Funeral / The Tune in Dan's Cafe. And 1971, Cool Air / Camera Obscura / Quoth the Raven. All episodes of Night Gallery. Trust me when I say this, people, if you've never seen it, Night Gallery is one of the best freaking sci-fi genre television shows out there.
Yeah. Now, let's be all honest. Night Gallery was nothing more than Outer Limits Take 2 in color.
Hey, I like
it. To a point.
I used to watch it late at night.
You know what? Night Gallery was good. Actually, it just didn't have the same impact
Well, okay. Then again, too, there was also another show that I believe was called Night Gallery that was nothing more than basically vampire soap opera.
No, that was a different one. That was Dark Shadows.
That's it. Okay, I'm sorry. My bad.
Now we're going to pass over to Shadow Step here to read off the writing credits for Lawrence Lasker and Walter F. Parks.
Ooh.
Okay.
Lawrence Lasker.
War Games, The Dead Code, 2008. V-Characters. Sneakers. Sneakers. 1992. Eddie Dodd?
Dodd? Yeah.
Weird name if I ever heard one. Project X.
Mm-hmm.
Project 87.
1987.
War Games. 1983. Walter F. Parks. War Games. The Dead Code. Sneakers. 1992. Eddie Dodd. 1991. War Games. 1993.
Yep, and as you know. Notice, the only difference between these two is Project X by Lawrence Lasker.
Yes.
The only thing he didn't work on.
But here's the thing. The War Games Dead Code. 2008. I've never heard of it. Is it an actual movie or?
Yes, it's War Games 2 and...
Yeah, I take it a bit.
You know, going with the times and oh my god, terrorists.
Oh, yeah.
Yep, so. Alright, now we're gonna cut over to starting to talk about the different actors and the movies that they've done. Now, the lists we have here are quite epic. So, you know, we're gonna let each person, as they go through their section, kind of cherry pick and go over the ones they thought were the most interesting. And we'll start with Nightchild
and
allow her to do Matthew Broderick.
Yep. That means put away your crack, babe. Put down the pipe. Or should I say the DS?
Sorry, folks. We have technical difficulties as we try to cut the rubber band off her hand.
Rubber band? Hell, I think the thing's super glued.
Get the blood.
Hold on.
Shut up, you guys. Sucks being the only woman with three men in here making fun of me and my Pokemon. God damn you.
Hey. It's all good. I love
folks,
you anyway.
She loves the fact that she's the only female with three guys around.
I work at a prison. You think being surrounded by guys is a good thing?
Okay, shout out to
guys like us.
I think you need to name that one and send it off to college.
Okay.
And now, you don't have to read them all, just cherry pick the ones that
you think are most interesting. Aha. Oh, great, and I'm looking out the window and it seems God has dandruff.
It's snowing, in other words, for those of you that don't catch my husband's sense of humor. Okay, The Tale of Despero, 2008, he was a voice, and I have to say that because
not
my
bad.
Daughter loves that movie. 30 Rock, he played in one episode, Cooter Burger, nice. Finding Amanda, he was a voice in the B-movie, that was actually not a bad movie. The B-movie.
The B-movie.
I haven't seen that one.
Uh-huh. Okay, Deck the Halls, 2006, The Producers, 2005, Strangers with Candy, 2005. He was very busy that year. The Stepford Wives, that was...
That one was halfway decent.
2004, Walter Crosby. The Lion King, 1.5, he played Simba.
Screw you, Disney. Stop making remakes, you assholes.
Please and thank you, you morons!
Wow. Let's see. Inspector Gadget.
Oh, come
train
on.
Wreck.
A train wreck if I ever saw one.
Apparently he did a lot of Lion King movies, because here's another one. Lion King 2, Simba's Tribe.
He did the first Lion King as well.
Godzilla in 98. Dr. Nico
TriStar.
Addicted to Love, 97. The Cable Guy, 96. The Road to Wellville. I like that movie. In 94.
That one wasn't too bad. The Road to Wellville
wasn't
bad.
considering there was a scene in it where a dude is screwing one chick and has his fist halfway up in another one.
The
Lion King 94 as the adult Simba, duh. The Night We Never Met in 93. The Freshman in 1990, everybody remembers that one. Glory in 89, Family Business in 89, Biloxi Blues in 88. Project X in 87. Ferris Bueller's Day Off. The big one he's known for.
Hello. The movie that pretty much made him.
Well, I would say that's more the movie that made him a teen heartthrob.
Good point. I forgot about this one. Lady Hawk in 85.
Oh, yes. I forgot about that.
Gaston.
Remember, that was Renaissance France. Or should I say Dark Ages France.
Somebody slap duct tape over that man's mouth.
What? I thought we...
Oh, isn't that your job?
No. Her job was to duct tape my hands to the headboard.
I don't think the audience needs to know that much about our sex life, Luke. Anyway, War Games in 83 and Max Dugan Returns in 83. So this was his second.
Max Dugan Returns? Oh, wow. So there's one I haven't seen in a while.
Now, if he returned, where was the movie where he left?
Oh, well.
Now on to Dabney Coleman as McKittrick. And we'll let Shadow Step do this. Just remember, get that mic a little closer.
Hold on, let me grab the blowtorch.
No, I've got a welder right over there. We'll make it permanent.
Okay.
Hard 4. 2007.
Now remember, you don't have to read them all. Just find the ones that you know or just the title jumps out at you.
One that should never have came out. Recess, taking the fifth grade.
Oh my lord.
2003. A voice as Principal Prickly.
Wait.
Okay.
Oh yeah, I keep forgetting. In this day and age, women can be principals in the movies. Duh.
Moonlight Mile. 2002.
Wow.
I have no idea how to pronounce this last name.
Mike?
Just Mike.
How's that?
Kiss My
Act. Recess. Christmas, Miracle on 3rd Street. Principal Peter Prickly. Oh my god.
Okay, that's right. I keep forgetting. Dabney Coleman is not a woman. It's a dude.
I'm sorry, I don't recognize
some people by their names. Remember, I recognize faces.
Inspector Gadget. As Chief Quimby.
Oh, dear Lord.
Yeah, notice, two members of the cast of this movie have also done that movie.
Clifford.
Oh, dear Lord, the world's going to end.
I would agree.
Anyway, continue forth.
Clifford. Gerald Ellis. Alright. Amos and Andrew, Chief of Police, Silas Tolliver, yes.
Sorry.
There goes the neighborhood. Jeffrey Abbott.
1992. Hey, Abbott! I hate that guy.
Meet the Applegate.
Oh god, yes!
1990. Aunt B.
Remember, he played the queen.
Oh God, yes. Yes.
That was awesome. That was such a stupid movie.
I'm sorry, that was a retarded movie, but I liked it.
So
Where the Heart Is, 1998, as Stuart McBain. In all honesty, not a very good movie.
One page gone.
Dragnet.
Oh,
1987.
Oh, yeah.
From what I heard, was not a bad movie.
Who played Jerry Caesar?
If I remember right, Dragnet had
Tom Hanks and Dan Aykroyd.
Yes.
Very good movie. At least I thought. Very, very slapstick compared to the original TV series.
One that all suits us, Cloaks and Daggers. Jack Flack. Hal Osborne. And here is an all-time favorite for all those who love the old TV series, The Muppets Take Manhattan.
Oh, hell yes!
Go bye-bye!
All right, animal. Young Doctors in Love. Dr. Joseph Prang.
What, early 80s porn?
Late 80s porn? Pretty much. On Golden Pond. Billy Ray.
Roy.
Oh, dear Lord.
I forgot about him in this movie.
9 to 5.
Dolly Parton.
Starring Dolly Parton.
Hart Jr.
Yeah.
Horrible Boss, remember?
Exactly. I forgot about that.
Nothing personal.
1980.
Dickerson. Very much so. Rolling Thunder Maxwell.
Oh, 1977.
That tells you I'm an old fart.
Older than me, at least. Midway, Captain Ray Arnold.
Pretty decent movie, I will admit.
The Other Side of the Mountains.
Dave McCoy.
Here is a movie that I would always love. 1975, Bite the Bullet.
Been a while since I've seen it.
The Dove, 1974. Charles Huntley. Love Is Not Forever. 1974.
Downhill Racer. 1969. As Mayo. And you know what? I think, honestly, that's probably further back than most of, except for there's a couple mentions I left on here because he was in 3 episodes of The Outer Limits, 2 episodes of The Alfred Hitchcock Hour.
Wow.
Craft Suspense Theater, 2 episodes. That goes all the way back to 1964.
No kidding.
And his first
listing in here. I've only seen like 2 episodes of that. Wow.
The Movie Maker was his first one.
Wow.
And now on to John Wood as Falcon. And we'll pass this one off to
John Wood. Let's see now. How far back to... Wow. Okay. Let's see now.
Actually, we've got one more page for him.
Oh, okay. So his goes... Wow, he goes all the way back to 1952. Okay, let's start at the top here. When I grow up, I want to be a white. 2008. As the narrator. Okay. Let's see now. The Return of the Dancing Master. TV series, I think. Goodbye, Mr. Chips as Weatherby in 2002. Victoria and Albert. TV. 2001. Chocolat in 2000 as Guillaume Belot. B-L-E-R-O-T. So, yeah. 2000, The Little Vampire. 1999, Mad Cows.
Moo. Don't make me moo again.
1998, The Avengers. I wonder, was he Thor?
Actually, if that's the one I think it is, that actually was starring Sean Connery as the villain.
You're talking.
Uma Thurman.
Yep. Thrubshaw was his character in that movie. Let's see now. 1997, The Gambler as the general. Sabrina in 1995 as Fairchild. Richard III in 1995 as King Edward the Fourth. Sorry. Close in the Wardrobe, 1993 as Robert. Let's see now. Thatcher, The Final Days, 1991, TV. Holy cow, here's one people might remember. He starred, but he was in the movie Jumping Jack Flash, 1986, as Jeremy Talbot. He was also in Lady Hawk, 1985, as the Bishop of Aquila.
Another Lady Hawk.
Mm-hmm. War Games, 1983, as Falcon. Somebody Kill Her Husband in 1978 as Ernest Van Staten. Slaughterhouse 5 as Tom Wood. 1972. Let's see now. That Kind of Girl, 1963. The First Gentleman, TV. 1961, The Rebel, 1961, The Challenge as the school inspector in 1960, and last but definitely not least, Stolen Face as Dr. John Jack Wilson in 1952.
All right, and now on to Ally Sheedy, who plays Jennifer.
Okay,
now,
go ahead.
First and foremost, we've got 10 stories tall. It just completed production, apparently, and will release sometime in 2010.
Okay.
Let's see. Trying to see if I see anything on here of her list that just, you know, looks interesting or...
We all know.
Or I would give a damn about. Well, let's see. I'm having to go back to... Oh, wait, here we go. This one just makes me smile a little. Red Shoe Diaries 4, Auto Erotica.
Oh, my Lord.
She was in an episode of that TV show.
HBO's.
No. This was USA Today.
Oh, USA, that's right, yes.
You didn't watch a few of those episodes.
Honey, you better believe I did.
Home Alone 2, Lost in New York, as the New York ticket agent.
Oh, shit.
Let's see, Fear in 1990 as Case Bridges. Short Circuit 2.
Oh, yeah, I forgot she was
voice,
in that.
Voice, uncredited, as of Stephanie Speck. Let's see, Made to Order.
God, I...
Short Circuit in 86.
Yeah.
St. Elmo's Fire, The Breakfast Club. Those were both 85. Some people might know Oxford Blues. We've got War Games in 83.
Yep.
Yeah, that pretty much wraps her up. At least as far as I'm concerned. Now we're on to Barry Corbin. And yeah, this one is pretty long. And I'm going to handle... Wait, I've got a couple mashed here together, but, well, we'll figure it out. Or apparently they weren't that important. Okay. Who wants Corbin? You know what? Put the crack away. You get Corbin.
He's making me give up my crack. God damn it. Okay.
Here's Corbin. DTs.
And Drassy Street 60, which is in production. 2009 President of Hungary. Next Door Neighbor, 2010 post-production. Most of these are 2009, 2010. Okay, one my kids would get. Ben 10, Alien Swarm, TV.
Actually, that came out.
Grandpa
it's
Max
already on DVD.
Tennyson. Grandpa Max. Beer for my horses.
Beer for my horses. Holy shit! Yes, I have yet to see that one either. Oh my God.
In the Valley of Ella. No Country for Old Men.
I've heard that was a pretty decent movie.
The Dukes of Hazzard, 2005, uncredited, Mr. Pullman. Backwater Elegy, 2003, as JT. Waiting to Live, as Buford Pike. Race to Space. Never heard of it. Command and Conquer. Video game.
Video game.
Yuri's Revenge. As General General Ben Carville. Do not touch my crack.
I don't want your crack hitting the deck. I don't want your crack hitting the deck.
My husband's trying to lose a finger here in a minute. Command and Conquer Red Alert 2, 2001 video game. General Ben Carville. If you want me to get through this, cut that shit out. The Journeyman, 2001, Charlie Ledbetter.
Yes, please quit rubbing her crack. That's my job.
And my brain goes stiff like grape. Okay.
Shadow Steps just kind of walking around with his head up going, wow, nice ceiling.
Time Quest, 2000, is Lyndon Johnson. Sealed with a Kiss, 99. Wink, Pop, Blake. Yes, I swear to God, that's what it says. Judgment Day, the Ellie Nessler story, is Tony Sirrah. Command and Conquer.
Command and Conquer.
Ah!
Yeah.
We lost it. Paper down, quick.
Red Alert, Retaliation. Same general. Let's see. Columbo.
Right.
Murderous. Clifford Calvert. Crush, Kill, and Destroy. Video game as a human general. Steven Spielberg's Director's Chair. Video game. Voice of Warden. Let's see. The Pandora Directive. Video game. This guy does a lot of fucking video games.
Sounds like a lot of the people we look through on some of these movies.
Looks like he does mostly video games and TV shows. Welcome to it. Raising Cane's a TV series. Doesn't say who he played. Conniger. Charlie McCloud, stage driver, a.k.a. Louis L'Amour's Conniger.
Yeah, that was a pretty decent movie starring Sam Elliott.
Ghost Dad in 1990.
Wow.
As
wow.
Mr. Emery Collins. Let's see. Anything else I know?
Wait a minute. Ghost Dad. Is that the one that was
Bill Cosby?
Yeah. That's what I thought.
TV miniseries. Roscoe Brown. Unknown episodes.
Whoa. Wait a minute. What year? Okay. In that case, then it wasn't the original miniseries. Huh?
P.J. Downing. Let's see. Critters 2, The Main Course in 88.
Oh, hell yes!
Nothing like small furry animals that roll around and eat things. Kind of like your kids.
Uh-huh. Young Harry Houdini, TV series, 87.
I actually saw that.
Yeah, LBJ, that was a decent series.
LBJ, the early years.
Oh, wow.
Let's see, Under Siege in 86. My Science Project in 85. As Lou Harlow.
Oh, there's another one I haven't seen in years.
My Science Project. That's a bizarre movie. Guy goes to a military junkyard, scrounges up something, and he's like, yeah, I'll say this is my science project. And somehow it opens the gateway through time.
The Man Who Loved Women, 83, is Roy Carr. War Games in 83 is General Behringer. Let's see. Best Little Whorehouse in Texas.
Starring another one with Dolly Parton and Burt Reynolds. 82,
CJ. Okay.
Yeah, so as you can tell, I grew up on some weird movies back in the day.
The Georgia. And 81.
Holy shit, that's one I haven't seen in years.
Let's see.
And basically, he did TV, Urban Cowboy, 1980. Uncle Bob, that's his first credit.
And now, on for Juan and Clay, the character Pat Healy.
Go for it, Shadow.
That's all of
it. Nope,
that's all.
That's all of it.
I trimmed him heavily.
This is a very short list. War Games in 1983 as Pat Healy.
Hold on. You can't forget the first one on the list. Our Family Honor, 1985 as Rita Danzig.
Legend of the Lone Ranger. Lone Striker. 1981.
At least it wasn't the Lone Rangers.
How can you pluralize the Lone Rangers?
This is an offshoot of a very familiar movie. The Fantastic Seven.
The Fantastic Seven.
1979.
Yes, it was.
Dina Lattimore.
And, of course, Thou Shalt Not Commit Adultery.
1978 TV. This chick... Yeah.
And now for Kent Williams. And this one, this guy's pretty interesting to me. First thing I'm going to hit is Dragon Ball Z. This guy basically is heavily used to doing voiceover work for anime that gets dubbed into English. So, let's see some of the highlights. Dragon Ball Z, Neon Genesis Evangelion, Vexile,
One Piece,
D-Gray Man.
He did Neon Genesis? Not bad.
Yep. Hell Girl.
Oh god, there's been a while since I've seen that one.
School Rumble, First Semester. Some more Speed Grapher. Shinobi
wasn't too bad.
Let's see. Full Metal Alchemist.
Oh shit!
TV series.
Beyblade, Yu Yu Hakusho, the narrator for 29 episodes
of Yu Yu Hakusho.
Yes.
Wow.
Gunslinger Girl, Blue Gender, the Warrior, Fruits Basket. Female listeners might really enjoy that anime.
Yeah.
Blue Gender
is an interesting one. I gotta give it that. Blue Seed is better in my opinion.
He did a lot of TV shows. He was in a MacGyver episode.
Who hasn't been in a MacGyver episode? Oh wait, Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Mike Hammer.
Oh, wow. He was in a Mike Hammer episode?
Yep.
Oh, cool.
And, of course, the one we're talking about.
Yeah, I was going to say, as you can tell, growing up, my parents watched some interesting shows. Mike Hammer, Spencer for Hire, so on and so forth. Yeah.
And now on to Dennis Lipscomb as Watson.
All right, Watson, where the hell's Sherlock? Oh, yeah, he's currently 10 feet underground, stoned out of his gourd. 2001, The Medicine Show. Let's see now. Apollo 11, 1996 TV. He was in an episode of Melrose Place in 1995. Yeah, I agree. Wank, 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 wank. 1994, he was in two episodes of Dr. Quinn, Medicine Woman. Oh, no! Without Warning, 1994 TV. Undercover Blues, 1993 as Foster. Interesting. Under Siege, 1992 as David Trenton, National Security Advisor. Yay! He was in an episode of Perry Mason, The Case of the Glass Coffin, 1991. Cop Rock, 1990 TV series. Wow, he's got a lot of TV credits on here. Yeah. Sister, 1987, as Sheriff Cleve Dossey, or something of that accord. Yeah.
At this point, let's skip TV listings unless it really sticks out.
Retribution, 1987. Slow Burn. Oh, wait, never mind. That's TV. Crossroads, 1986, as Lloyd. Wow, I'm going to have to watch that movie again. A Soldier's Story, 1984, as Captain Taylor. War Games, 1983. Love Child, 1982. Penitentiary 2, 1982. Wings of Ash, pilot for a dramatization of the life of Antonin Artaud, 1978. Okay, I'm doing Dennis Lipscomb, right? Okay, in that case,
then that's yes.
Okay, in that case, then, that's pretty much the end of his.
And now on to Joe Dorsey as Conley, and we'll allow Nightchild to do this one.
And he's rubbing his hands together, which just makes me nervous. All right, Killing Midnight, 97, Anthony Chambers. Pet Sematary 2, 92, as the caretaker.
Interesting.
Taking Back My Life, the Nancy Ziegenmeier story, as Detective Ross. Knocking Out the TV. Shadows in the Storm, 88, as Joe Dorsey. Birkenstock. Let's see. Yeah, he spelled his name a little bit differently, so they had to put it in there as Joe Dorsey with a C instead of an S. Oh, my God. Let's see.
No.
Real Genius in 85.
I'm sorry, I'm going to have to take that cheeseburger away from you. It's going to give you ginormous breasts. Too late!
Wait a minute. Did I just hear that correctly?
Real Genius.
Real Genius.
As Congressman Dugton. The Philadelphia
Chairman,
84, as Sheriff Bates.
No, War Games in
83 as Conley. And all these sound stupid to me. Norma Ray. 1979. Another one of those, okay, he put his name a little differently as Joe A. Dorsey this time, playing Woodrow Thompson. They went that away and that away. Bill.
Okay, who the hell was he playing? One of the little sprites on Willow? Which way do we go? We go that away!
Grizzly in 76 is Charlie Kittredge. And
one
that you love, my baby. The Longest Yard in 1974.
Oh, hell yes.
Bartender.
Oh, yes. The original version starring Burt Reynolds and also had the guy from The Addams Family that played Lurch as one of the inmates.
Okay, next. Let's see.
Yeah, that's definitely one we ought to do a TBR on, dude. The original
Metzman. I'm gonna pass it off.
You know, honestly, I think we're gonna skip on past
most
of these.
Yeah, I was gonna say, unless it's got like Michael Ironside or some other bullshit in it.
We're gonna go to James Tolkien, just because there's a couple here I wanna highlight. Bloodfist 4, Die Trying.
Right.
They died trying to make this movie, apparently.
Yeah.
Agent Sterling, Problem Child 2.
Okay.
Dick Tracy, 1990 as Numbers.
Interesting.
Now, this is the one where people will start to realize who the fuck this guy is. Back to the Future Part 3, Chief Marshal James Strickland.
Yes.
Back to the Future Part 2, Mr. Strickland.
Yep.
Case of the Hillside Stranglers.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Now, that was a TV thing, but it was still fairly good from all accounts.
Oh, yeah.
Masters of the Universe, Detective Lubbock.
Yes.
Armed and Dangerous.
Yep, good movie.
Top Gun as Stinger.
Oh, hell yes.
Back to the Future, Mr. Strickland. War Games as Negan. The Amityville Horror, 1979.
Ooh, it's been a while.
As Coroner.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Okay, 1973, I think I want to see this one. The Werewolf of Washington, Dark Glasses.
Oh, damn! I've heard of it, but I haven't seen it. Yeah, we definitely got to get that one.
Yep. And you know what? Dave Clover and everyone else we've skipped, I'm sorry, you're just not that interesting for us, really.
Sorry.
You are the weakest link. Goodbye.
Okay, we'll do it right. You are the weakest link. Goodbye.
Now, before we go and watch the movie, anyone have any thoughts about any of the crap we've rambled through so far, or what they can remember of the movie?
Not that much. It's been so long since I've seen it. I mean, yeah.
No, he just said, okay, we're doing more games. And I was like, oh, hell, you wait a minute. You mean that that Matthew Broderick movie from, like, when I was, like, three?
Three cup sizes smaller, you mean?
Yes.
You shouldn't have had those cheeseburgers.
Lord Brackenboot is now single because he's obsessing.
Come on. I was doing that beforehand. Just not in front of you. He heard them all.
Yeah, unfortunately.
What are you talking about? You commented and scored some of them.
Yeah, I'm definitely not getting laid for a while.
Thanks a lot, dear. I thought you were supposed to be on my side.
I always am.
Fun.
No.
Well, at least I'm not making fun of him this time.
No, he's just walking around, like, with his head up in the air going, yeah, you know, you may tease, but that's my baby.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Now, the thing I'll say, there's been a lot of movies about hacking into things and doing
hackers,
all this.
Hackers.
But of all of them, this one probably still, this and Sneakers probably are the two that stick out the most as being the most realistic from what I can remember of them all. Pretty straightforward. I mean, simple tricks like, you know, being in the principal's office and pulling out a drawer, and in there is taped the password list for the week.
Yep.
This is shit people haven't learned to fix
in years.
Even to this day.
Oh, for crying out loud, there was something on the news a couple nights ago where hackers are still getting into people's MySpace, Facebook, Yahoo accounts, so on and so forth. Why? Because their freaking passwords are too goddamn simple. I mean, ABC123, hello, you don't do that shit.
Hey, come on. Are you telling me my password of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, I have that number on my luggage.
Yes.
Can you name the movie? Thank you!
Oh shit, there goes the planet.
No, I saw it.
It's Spaceball 1! She's gone from suck to blue! No, there isn't any sexual connotations there.
I'm still a little irritated about the whole... Do you? Good, kisser!
Yes! Something later explained.
Stop. No. That is a story for when we get to War Game. Or when we get to Spaceballs.
Very true.
Because
very,
that very movie true. Is $5.
Hell yes.
So, you know what? It's been so long since any of us has seen it. I don't think we really have anything intelligent
to say about it. We never have anything intelligent to say anyway. So.
Well. You may not. I occasionally say something intelligent. I mean, it is about that time of the decade for me. All right. And with that, folks, we will catch you after the break. All right, and we're back after the break. So, initial impressions, everyone.
Well, I certainly didn't remember that much about the movie. Definitely awesome.
I had forgotten a lot about that movie, and oh my god, I forgot exactly how hair-raising it could get.
Explosive. Very, very explosive.
I mean, it gets your tensions going from the start, and then when you think all's nice and calm, it lets you relax a little bit, and then it just kicks you right in the shorts again.
Yeah, ain't that the freaking
case. So, now we'll go into the descriptions here. Who wants to kick off with the main menu? Nah, I think we'll let Shadow here. Come on, give it a shot, man. You can do this.
I will give it this. It had really good graphics. I mean, it basically portrayed what it showed on the cover, but with more of an oomph behind it.
Very animated, showing, you know, missiles launching and landing. And
the thing is, it was also done in 3D graphics as well.
Very true.
So you could actually see the actual arc. And
it rotates around and stuff. I mean, I've got to say, it's probably one of the better ones we've seen.
Mm-hmm. And the thing that really got me was the whole play movie, special features, scene selection, all this done up in the old, just the extremely large, pixelated lettering. And oh my god, that was just, I was like, hey, that works.
Yeah.
That's very nice. Very nice touch.
And I will not, I will say this now, I will not be dinging this movie for subtitles because it does have them. Now, what Shadow here doesn't know, I have a history of any movie that doesn't have subtitles, automatic deduction.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm a person who sometimes late at night, I can't have it up loud. So I have subtitles going so I can fill in those blanks when, you know, someone's whispering something.
Unless, of course, your TV does the whole character whispering in as the subtitle. It's like, you, goddammit!
Well, you can't avoid that one.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, so opening scenes here. The opening scene right after you press play.
Oh, God. I'm sorry.
You have a vehicle traveling through.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That
heavy
old
storm.
Old, literally, I'd say 80, 81 model Jeep Grand Wagoneer. Big ass, long wheelbase SUV made by Jeep. Full size V8 four wheel drive. Trust me, I've been dying to get a hold of one of these things for years. Running through this large.
He has more of a hard on for his wife or the cars he loves.
Both, actually. But running through this dust storm, and all of a sudden pulls up to this interesting-looking, suburban-looking house.
Kind of a ranch-style house in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, literally, middle of nowhere. A few dead trees here and there, or possibly limbs, God only knows. Two guys get out, one carrying a case. Big metal, I'd say 1 foot wide by like 3 foot long by like foot and a half deep kind of thing. Walk up, walk into the house, all of a sudden, bing, pan inside.
They take off their jackets, we cut inside. Well, as they're inside.
Well, I was going to say, boom, camera pans, or camera goes, boom, right inside of the living room. Very, very suburban style layout to the living room. Next thing you know, these two guys come in, big dust cloud, close the door, stomp, 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 you know, wiping the dust off of them. Both of them walk up to the mirror that has the coat hooks, or the hat hooks on it. One sets the case down, all of a sudden they both pull out IDs.
And then we cut to the other side of the mirror. Well, no, it lights up in front of them, then we cut to the other side of the mirror.
Yep.
We see a military dude looking at him and buzzes him through.
Yep.
Now, what do we got going next here, Shadow?
Well, inside this secretive room, we pan right to another military-dressed figure opening a safe. And out pulls two snub-nosed revolvers.
Probably 38s, you know.
Yeah, easy.
Often known as, you know, Saturday Night Specials.
Yeah. What really got me is that they only gave them three rounds.
A piece.
Each.
Pulls out six rounds, sets them on top of the safe.
I mean, in my personal opinion, I would at least give them four apiece.
Well, when we cut in a little further, it makes a little more sense why they would only need three.
Yeah.
Very true. The elevator, then this long corridor with this big-ass metal doors.
We're talking prop... You know, they come down out of the elevator, and there's an exchange between them and the people who are inside as the door's opening, and this is a foot and a half to 2 foot, easy, solid metal door.
Yeah.
And you quickly catch this is a blast door.
Yeah. Easily able to withstand, you know, nuclear strike.
The room inside, though.
Oh, dear God.
Can you say claustrophobia?
Okay. Well, I am claustrophobic. I am highly claustrophobic. And these guys are supposed to spend 24 hours in a room that's probably 15 foot long by like 8 foot wide with computers everywhere.
Now, at least it looked like they had fairly comfortable chairs.
Yeah, I gotta agree with that, but still, I couldn't spend 24 hours in there. I'd end up going nuts.
Same here.
And the door shuts.
Well,
you
yes. gotta remember the part where, you know, they did the exchange and the guys that were leaving said something about they hadn't been on time for the last 6 months and they were written up in the log book. I was like, pricks.
Yep.
Can we say plick?
What a very, very small plick you have.
No. That's they're fried like, rice, you plick.
They're like 10 minutes late. Come on now.
Yeah.
Well, hey, if I'd been shut in a room for 24 hours, every minute racks
yeah,
up there
right.
at the last bit.
God damn it, the damn transport's 4 minutes late. Now that's 4 minutes I'm not going to get back, man.
Well, considering I work in a prison, you know, I can definitely qualify with the whole 10 minutes. God damn it, the last 10 minutes of work is definitely the longest, especially when you're in an environment where you're kind of closed in.
And they're not inside this room more than 10 minutes before alarms go off and a computerized voice comes across announcing a encoded message.
Yep. They start pulling out little red books, markers, this, that, and the other, start writing down the letters and numbers, this, that, and the other. It's not long before you finally realize they're setting up to get ready to launch.
Yep. And I mean, the tension's building. You can see both guys. They're
starting
just
to sweat.
Yeah, especially the guy in control. He's especially. He even goes so far as during their whole launch protocol to break with procedure and say, "Get me someone on the phone. I don't want to kill 20 million people and not know for sure what's going on."
Yeah,
and the line is dead. We are moving right towards World War III, folks. That's right. Merry Christmas. Your teeth are going to be bright as green.
Bright as green. Shit. The paint is going to get sucked off your house, and your family's going to have a permanent orange afro, in the famous words of Dan Aykroyd.
Exactly.
Which is definitely another movie I think we ought to do a TBR on sometime.
Actually, if you're talking about the one I'm thinking about, that's going to be a two-parter.
Oh, hell yeah. Hell yeah. Anyway, moving on.
So, and at the last seconds, the commander
is saying, "No, I'm not going to do it."
Drops his hand.
I can't do it. I can't do it. The other guy being played by Michael Madsen, for God's sakes. The B-movie cop tough guy of the mid and late 90s pulls out his gun, drops the hammer, says, "Sir, put your hand back on the key. We need to get this done now."
And that's where we end that scene. Directly cut.
Inside a fucking NORAD.
And just as a little FYI for people who don't know or haven't figured out, a little bit of information about this one set piece. Up to this time, this was the most expensive set piece built for any movie. They spent $1 million in the early 80s to build this, and when they finally got to see what NORAD really looked like, this is NORAD's wet dream.
Yes. At the time, NORAD wished they had something that nice.
And you have people showing up at NORAD, and
wearing suits, some wearing full fucking dress uniforms.
No. The people we're focusing on are two guys in suits.
Oh, yeah, good point.
And they've got this whole conversation going as they're coming up and heading towards a meeting with the general who runs the place and, you know, a couple other people.
Yeah.
And in it, it comes out that this was a test drill that was happening at the beginning. They figured out by putting every person who was sat in front of these keys that 22% of everyone failed to pull the keys.
Yep. Why? Because they didn't have the cojones to turn the keys and possibly kill millions of people.
You know, it's one thing to kill, you know, a couple dozen people in person, but to drop a bomb on someone from a distance,
in all
you
honesty,
know what? That's the Nintendo generation. We're not there yet.
Hold on. You got to realize, though, I've actually met guys from Vietnam and, you know, little skirmishes between Vietnam and Grenada in the early 90s that have dropped bombs on people. That was their whole job. And these guys still have nightmares because they may not have seen the faces, but for some weird reason, in their nightmares, they're still hearing the screams. And in all honesty, I got to give those guys props because of that shit, because it takes a lot of fucking guts to be able to actually push a button, drop a bomb on thousands of people, and not see a fucking face.
Especially when you're talking about bombs that aren't high precision.
Exactly.
You know, when you start talking about, you know, pinpoint, that's almost easier to cope with, well, I imagine. But moving... So, they... I forget the guy's name. Starts with a B. Someone help me.
I can't think. Oh, anyway, basic.
List is over there. Yeah. That
Oops,
would help.
We threw this stuff away a little too soon. Dun dun dun.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. General Barringer is the guy who runs the place.
Yep.
And it's McKittrick.
That's it. McKittrick.
Brings up and introduces the Whopper.
Basically, he introduces it by the few words, well, in that case, then, let's take the human out of the equation.
Right there.
That, right there, is the largest famous last words I've ever heard.
Best part where everybody in the room kind of started cringing and yeah, getting scared.
Barringer goes off about it.
Oh, yeah.
The two political types who are there, they're all in.
Yeah,
idiots.
They're like, well, let's see what you're talking about here.
And
can we say Terminator? This is how this kind of shit started.
And they introduce the Whopper, which is a machine that just calculates World War III.
War operation
planning.
Whatever. Yeah. Anyway.
But
as one of the technicians said, this thing has run World War III scenarios every minute of every day, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
365 days a year.
Yep. I'm sorry, but do I really want to leave my possible security up to a machine? No.
Nah. If my, you know, if I'm going to get nuked, I want, you know, someone to be behind the key at least.
Exactly.
It's a weird thing, but hey.
Oh, yeah. That's a human being making a decision instead of a cold, calculating, unfeeling machine making said decision.
Yeah. And that pretty much wraps... The wrap on this scene is that they go, we're going to recommend this...
To the president.
And I'm sure the Joint Chiefs will have something to say, and Barringer, you're damn right we will.
Yeah. Anyway, next scene we cut to, back to that long, wait, straight room again. Go ahead.
I thought you had...
It was just the whole, well, you know, this guy keeps saying over and over again, well, we got to be on a plane in less than an hour. Well, give me 5 minutes. And then leads them out here to show them this machine that's going to... Yeah. To anybody that knows anything about computers, you know what? They may not have the whole human condition, but they have a bigger problem. It's called they don't give a flying fucking hell. So
exactly.
You know.
In the end, it's numbers. It's logic. It's going to try to, you know, maximize you know, effectiveness while minimizing, you know, retaliatory strikes. No.
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 I'm sorry. I would rather be standing there in a cold wasteland looking down the sights of a rifle and being able to see the faces of those of whom I'm killing as a soldier, instead of standing there looking at a computer screen going, looks like 20 million people just got dead.
Yep. Now, after all of this, the next thing we cut to, of all things, is a kid at a Galaga machine.
Oh, wait, you almost forgot. The scene in the friggin' the key room. The two guys that were in there that were going through that drill, Michael Madsen's character and the other guy, are walking out as two technicians are carrying out seats, this, that, and the other, while one technician in the area where the keys were going beforehand, a number pad.
Basically
an LED display.
And the guy who was, you know, refused to pull the key, just kind of stops and looks at it as they put it in, and you can see a mild sheen of sweat on him.
Yeah, that look of, my God, this is what's going to be making the decision from now on?
It's almost like, just from the facial expressions, I don't know if it was intended, but the actor did a very good job.
Oh, yeah.
Of portraying, I should have pulled the fucking key. This wouldn't have happened, maybe, if I had turned the key.
Yeah. It's that look of, okay, maybe I should have done that look of regret.
Yeah, and anxiety. It was kind of an angsty look, like, oh, God, this is not going to end well.
Yeah.
You know, and if he's smart enough to figure out this is not going to end well,
oh,
come on.
Oh, God. And you can clearly see on this actor's face, what the hell did I just do?
Yeah.
Yep.
I mean, if I would have turned the key,
I would still have this job.
Our hands would not now be in the hands of a machine.
Okay. I said it when we were at the very end of the movie. I don't know if you were in the room or not, but it's one of those situations where you got to think. This is the kind of stuff that could easily happen. I mean, it is feasible. It is very feasible. I mean, for crying out loud, I've been hearing stories of possibility of the regular soldier being taken out of the equation and all of a sudden reanimated dead bodies as soldiers going into war. Hello, can we say Night of the Living Dead, possibly? I mean, it's all kinds of, some of the movies that are coming out nowadays, or even back in the past, back in the 80s and early 90s, some of this stuff could actually happen.
Yep. And now to the scene I was talking about a moment ago. We cut to a kid playing a Galaga machine, and he's just wailing on it.
Oh my God, he's just kicking all kinds of fucking ass.
Just jamming on that stick.
And believe me when I say this, I've played that game before as an arcade, and trust me, I got my ass handed to me on more than one occasion.
Oh, yeah.
Missile Command, I remember, had the push button and the wheel.
The trackball.
Yeah, the trackball. I played that and was, I mean, I was a fucking master at that game, but Galactica, I got my ass handed to me on more than one occasion.
And, you know, as he's jamming, other kids start sprinting out, and he pulls out his watch, and kid comes up, here, take this, and he sprints off.
Yep.
Right into class, late.
The thing of it is, though, he starts to run out, stops, runs back, grabs a blue book, and runs out. Next thing you know, you see him running up into a high school, Sherman High School to be specific, and then all of a sudden you see a teacher asking scientific questions, specifically about, oh, I don't know, plants. And then all of a sudden you see one up, run up to the door, look in, is like, oh crap. Tries to sneak in, gets almost all the way to his desk, and all of a sudden the teacher calls his name.
The teacher, I don't think we've got the teacher's name, but it was David.
Hello, David. Nice of you to join us. Please come up here. I got a present for you. And hands him a blue papered test with a big fat red F on it.
And he made sure he showed it to well enough everybody. So the entire class could see it.
How many times, I wonder, has this happened to any of our listeners out there?
Yes, you know, some teachers are pricks like that.
No shit.
I couldn't have come home with an F if I wanted to live. My dad is a science teacher.
Oh, God, yeah, I forgot about that. Thank you, babe.
Now, the other fun thing there that happens is, you know, he starts discussing the questions. And he asks female Jennifer, we find out later, why do nitrogen nodules cling to the roots of plants? And she looks up and smiles sweetly. Love?
Yes, no, she's not a teenager at all or anything. No. Oh, no.
Yeah, this is the atypical early 80s teenager. This is the synthesis of early 80s teenager, okay?
And the teacher, you know, hands her the test with a nice big fat F on it, too.
Yep. And then all of a sudden he asks the next question, talking about asexual reproduction.
Who was it who first proposed the idea of reproducing without sex? And David kind of whispers, you can't really quite hear him unless you have it really way up. And Jennifer just starts giggle.
Giggles here and there from other students, this, that, and the other.
And the teacher looks back, would you mind sharing what's so funny? And she can't help but to look back at David, look up at the teacher, giggle, look back at David. And the teacher decides to ask David what's so funny. And David simply replies, when asked the question, who do you think was who came up with the idea of reproduction without sex?
And he blatantly says, with a big cheesy smile on his face, your wife.
And the teacher throws him out, and he sends him directly
Trust
to the office.
That scene happened. All four of us in the room just kind of, oh, damn, that hurts. That so hurts. If that would have happened to me in high school, I'd have literally gotten my ass kicked up between my shoulder blades.
Especially considering most of the middle school and high school teacher knew me by all three of my names.
Honey, you got to realize, one of my science teachers in high school was a guy that stood 6'8", weighed almost 500 pounds, okay, named Mr. Goodman.
Okay.
This man was the kind of guy, he was soft-spoken for the most part, a little bit loud, but, you know, he didn't raise his voice. It was just that, you know, boisterous kind of volume he had, you know. But very well-natured. I've seen that man blow his top twice. First time, okay, I wasn't there, but I heard about it. The second time, I was there, and trust me when I say this, I wanted to crawl out the window. Thankfully, he wasn't pissed off at me.
And, you know, then the next scene we cut to, he's in the office and talking to a black lady behind.
He's a secretary, obviously.
Yeah, and he's...
Teacher wants me to come in and...
discuss my poor attitude, and she smiles.
The principal is really tired of discussing your poor attitude, so
I'm sure he is. And he walks around
as
to the alcove.
As she buses him in.
Yeah.
I don't know too many high schools, especially in Seattle, like that.
Well, anyway, and he walks around to this little alcove where, you know, the principal's office or dean of students, I don't think he ever says principal, he says Mr. Whatever.
Yeah.
So it could have been principal, vice principal, dean of student.
Exactly. Hell, it could have been the superintendent for all we know.
And he sits down and looks around, no one's looking. He sits up and pulls out a drawer, and in the drawer is a list of passwords. Idiots!
Yes.
One of those. Hold it.
It's one of those writing flats that is in really old desks.
Oh, God.
Or really nice ones nowadays.
Really nice ones nowadays. It's just a single sheet of...
piece of wood about, I'd say, 3/4 inch thick and about, I'd say, 1/2 to 3/4 inch wider than a normal everyday sheet of paper. Paper.
Yeah. And for some stupid reason, they have this old yellowed piece of paper where they have written down about a dozen passwords and marked them out and then written something else on there.
And it's taped onto this thing.
Within easy access of the student body. Hello?
Can we say stupid?
Hello, retard.
But anyway.
And the password is... pencil!
Wow, I just saw everything spike on our little over here.
Yep.
Anyway, the next thing you know, he sits back down just as whoever it is he needs to go talk to opens up his door and says, "Oh, David, come on in, if you would please."
I think he actually says Mr. Lightman, but...
Yeah, that's it, Lightman, that's it.
And that... Then we cut... Then we cut to
him
David
walking down the street, and then all of a sudden Jennifer rides up on this motorized moped. You know,
motorized moped.
You know what I mean.
One of those wannabe motorcycles from the 80s.
It looks like a motorcycle, but it's literally just got nothing more than a 2-stroke lawnmower engine on it.
And she, you know, "I'm sorry, I didn't mean to get you in trouble. Can I give you a ride home?"
I'm not going to repeat what Lord Drakenblut said during that scene.
Hey, I'll ride her home.
Never mind, he said it anyway. Anyway, so he hops on the bag, and the first thing that I'm thinking as he reaches around to grab a hold of her is, okay, his hands are a little too high there. Okay, never mind.
No, boy. You don't grab up that high, you grab the hips. It gives you better leverage.
Hell yeah.
He'll learn, he's a teenager.
Exactly. Anyway, next thing you know, she starts riding off and all of a sudden you hear is, "Oh God!" Definitely tell he's a virgin.
I'm sorry, I have to remind you, he is married to Sarah Jessica.
Parker.
I very much doubt he's learned much of anything.
Can you say burn?
Oh my God, I'm sorry, but Sex and the City just took a whole new twist from that line.
What's Sex and the City? That's the one word missing off that title.
Yes, anyway. But all of a sudden, they cut, what are you planning on doing? Because he's talking about, "Don't worry, I'm sorry. They're riding along up the hill here, and all of a sudden he's like, she's like, aren't you anxious or whatever, because, you know, we both just failed biology, you know, so we're going to have to take summer school." No, we're not.
No, I'm not going to. He says nothing.
Oh, yeah, that's right. But Annal says, "What do you mean? What are you gonna do? What are you gonna do? Da 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 da. Show me. Or no, tell me. And all of a sudden he's like, No. Take a ride up here and I'll show you."
And they walk into his place. Both, no parents are home. She walks in. "Aren't your parents home?"
Yeah.
"No, they both work."
Typical 1980s suburbia home. Reason why is because as soon as you walk in, hardwood foyer and very nice turned wood banisters on the stairs.
And he's like, you know, she's like, "Your parents home?" No, they both work. "Come on up." And on his door it says, "Caution, restricted area," something like that, you know.
Yeah, you know.
The kind of thing that a typical, you know,
teenager would have.
Teenage male should have on his door, because, my God, you walk in at the wrong time, you're gonna, you know, see something you shouldn't.
Although, I have never quite seen a teenager's door that had their own lock. I sure as hell wouldn't allow one of my kids to lock their door without me having a key to it. Fuck that shit.
Well, the other thing is, this is an older style house. You can tell by the key. It's not that hard to get around those kind of keys.
Oh, yeah, the old 6-inch-long skeleton key?
Yeah, not that hard.
No.
and walk in, and this boy is decked on computers for that age. I mean, we're talking easily several thousand dollars worth of computer hardware running the old-style 8-inch floppy disk.
Oh, my God. Do you know how long it's been since I've seen an 8-inch floppy?
Do you know how long it's been since I've seen a 5.5-inch?
Yeah.
Last night.
Oh! Oh! Wolf, I'm sorry. You should have known before now. She did spend the night with me last night.
Yeah.
And, you know, of course, I will continue to touch her boobs.
Yeah, she, as he, yeah, should I say she? Anyway, but no, the thing that gets me is they walk in and he's got all the computer hardware. His bed is made.
Kind of.
So, pseudo. I mean, the pillow was exposed, you know.
And the clothes on the bed, the one thing that is his tighty-whities on the top.
And
don't mind, a little messy.
Yeah, a little messy as he picks up a small armload of clothes. I'm sorry, but when I was his age, I had clothes everywhere all over the floor, okay?
And, you know, he proceeds at this point to strut his stuff and log into the school's system.
Yeah, after pulling out this, what looked to be like a magazine, opening it up, pulling out an 8-inch floppy, looks at it real carefully, I mean, less than 6 inches away from his face, okay? Like, oh yeah, got the right one. Click, click.
Oh yeah.
And he proceeds to dial into the computer system.
At the school.
Now, I need to explain this one because some of the younger people might not know what, you know.
This kind
of
stuff is.
He literally picks up an old school phone, dials, waits until he hears a couple tones, and then puts the phone handset into a coupler modem. Now, anyone who hasn't seen this, a coupler modem was a large device that had these two large rubber pads and mic pickup and a speaker in them that you would snap it in, and that's how it would talk. We're talking 300 BPS.
Yes. 300 bytes per second.
If you want a bitch about 10 megs? No. We're talking old school now.
Yeah. Now, the thing you have to keep in mind, though, 300, you know, BPS back then was fairly quick because all you were displaying was text.
Exactly.
It didn't take much to show it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, that was almost instantaneous. Hello, boom. Hey, guess what? We got it.
And he proceeds to change his grade to a C from an F. And then he, you know, starts typing in her name. And do you have a middle name? K for Kristen or something like that.
Catherine.
Ah, Catherine. What a hot name.
I used to date a Catherine.
I don't want to hear, dude. I've seen the people you've dated. You finally found one who doesn't make me want to barf in a bag, put the bag over my head, barf in another one, and repeat.
I think that's a compliment. Okay, I'll take it.
Anyway, but all of a sudden, he types it in, all of a sudden, boom, up comes her grade. Same as his F on biology, which is at the very friggin' top.
Though he says, how do you get a D in home ec?
Which I gotta agree with that question. How does anybody get a D in home ec? Okay, I can barely sew, I can cook, thank God.
Oh yes, thank God.
And I aced home ec.
I flunked it.
Okay, moving right along before we really have to start mocking him more than normal.
Anyway.
Go darn some socks. We're done with you.
Anyway, next thing you know, she's like, no, change it back. Change it back. We're going to get in trouble. Change it back. And all of a sudden he's like, all right, fine. Changes it back. And she's, you know, okay.
But he doesn't enter as she starts to leave. And as soon as she walks out, back.
Closes the door. A.
Backspace, A. And then he proceeds This is an old school thing that has actually seen a resurgence in recent days. Starts doing something called war dialing.
Oh, this was after dinner. Remember?
Yes.
Yes. He's looking through a magazine during dinner. His mom, this is where we find out, yes, both parents work. Dad, God only knows what the hell he does because he looks like a typical geek. Okay, let me rephrase that. Atypical 80s geek. Big-ass glasses, really short, fucked-up haircut, sweater vest, over a white button-up shirt, no tie.
And Mom is on the phone
with a jacket that says...
Carpenter, I believe.
No.
Century 21.
Thank you.
Century 21 Realty.
Yep.
Yeah. Next thing you know, he's okay, I'm done with dinner, but read through a magazine, sees this one company out of Sunnydale, California. First thought that went through my head, Sunnydale. All you gotta do is change one letter and buffet!
Anyway, moving
next
past
thing you know, but anyway, and he's like, oh, cool, they got some really cool war game kind of things going on.
No, something that'll change gaming forever.
Oh, yes, thank you. Closes his magazine, gets up with his plate. Okay, I'm finished. I'm going up to my room now.
Doesn't even say it. Just does it.
Yeah, but just does it. Just as Mom sits down, and you realize Dad has literally put a rather thick layer of butter onto a piece of bread. Picks up his corn and starts slathering it.
Hey, that's a decent way to go about it.
Yeah, hell
but...
yeah. I gotta give him that one. Next thing you know, he starts salting. And all of a sudden, she's like, you know, I really worry about him sometimes. Just about that point in time, Dad bites in to the cob of corn. And all of a sudden, he just kind of looks up, blinks at her. This corn is raw. Yes, don't you just love it? You can just taste the nutrients and...
the vitamin A and D!
I'm sorry, but... Oh! Babe, you ever did that to me, I would have to...
Well, don't you think she'd do it intentionally just so you would do such a thing to her?
Yeah, he can see the wheels of my head turning.
Yes, and all of a sudden the horn's growing a little taller and the neon...
Hey, I'm looking back here at the tail. It's just, yeah.
Oh, no, that's just hot.
That's what I meant.
Is that a pitchfork in your hand?
No, it's a...
What do you think she eats with?
Oh, God.
Anyway.
Stop it. You're going to turn him on, and I'm not going to get home in time to take care of that before I have to pick kids up.
Oh,
damn.
Why do I think Shadow here is going to be driving?
He's still in here.
Shadow, can I tell you? Flip the mirror up. Music very loud. You'll be okay.
He's still in Dear God, Fuck. No. Not fuck him because of earlier.
Oh,
she
shit.
Is so not getting.
Shit,
remember?
Shit.
Oh God.
Anyway.
Now that we digress.
Back to the movie. All of a sudden, goes up to his room and starts the war dialing.
Now, to explain what war dialing for those who might not know, it was a simple technique of sitting there and dialing blocks of phone numbers at a time, and a modem would give a specific sound, so therefore you could easily go through and go, this isn't the sound I was looking for, throw it out. Next number. Wait, this is something interesting, I'll save it. And war dialing has actually had a resurgence in recent years because of the rise of VoIP technologies, where with high-speed bandwidth as it is, you can cover an entire state in about a week or so, depending on how big it is.
Yeah.
So it has seen a resurgence. This is not dead dead technology, dead practices.
Exactly. Well, that and also remember what we used to do all the time when we were a little bit younger in the early 2000s, and which I come to find out was called war driving, which is basically taking up a computer with wireless access and driving around until you find one that's unsecured, and hey, we got internet.
some people just did it to find them. I know people who had automated systems that would do it and then upload it to websites, but we digress past that.
But now that they've got that technology, that something that you can fit on your keychain will tell you where Wi-Fi hotspots are now.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, but that only tells you there's something there. It doesn't tell you any good information. Yeah.
But then again, too, as Shadow found out earlier on this week, or this weekend, I should say, found out that there are some that can even block wireless signal.
Yep. But moving on, you know, the next day we run into them, and she's like, you know,
I've changed my mind.
Could you change my grade? And they get back to his room, and they start talking, and he's like, well... And he's got the war dialing going. She's like, is this going to take long? You know, and isn't this expensive? And he's like, there's ways around that.
No, he's not a hacker.
Well, no, back then it was not, you couldn't say it was purely hacking. It was a combination of hacking and freaking. That's part of what war dialing was, yeah. You know, playing with the phone systems.
Right.
So anyway, he's like, I already changed your grade. I figured, you know, you'd change your mind, so I just changed it then. She's like, what'd you give me? D.
What? You gave me a... No, no, I'm kidding. I gave you an A.
And she smiles big and, you know.
And you so know this dude's getting laid.
Sooner or later.
So.
Move on. Next thing you know, he's going along through some of the numbers he's... logged, and all of a sudden he's like, hey, wait, okay, no.
This is a bank. Hey, Pan Am!
Well, that's a bank. Huh, that could come in useful later on. Moving on. Oh, Pan Am, where do you want to go?
And he books reservations. She's like, so I have tickets
to Paris.
So I have tickets to Paris now? No, you just have reservations for the flight.
Exactly. Next thing you know comes up, and oh, games. List of games. First one on the list.
No, he comes to one that just says log on.
Oh, yeah. Refuses to identify itself.
And he tries something. Connection terminated. Tries something else. Connection terminated. And then he tries help games, and it gives a list of games. He tries something. Connection terminated.
Yep.
And now he, you know, prints it out and goes and talks to some of his other nerd friends.
One of which everybody has seen in either Revenge of the Nerds, Revenge of the Nerds Part 2.
Oh yeah, this dude just, yeah.
About 6'4", as skinny as a rail.
Dear?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I have to give you a visual.
Okay, yes, I stand 6'2" and weigh 120 pounds.
Okay, yeah, but you're not a rail... You're a railroad spike. Get the sledgehammer. I've got a tie to put down.
This, yeah. But my husband's got hair down past his shoulders, wearing
anyway,
all black,
anyway,
sexy.
Anyway. Yeah.
Sorry, I had to say it.
Okay, it's all good. It's all good, then. Anyway, next thing you know, he's like, okay. But anyway, like I said, 6'4", skinny as a rail, the... full button up front, short sleeve, checkered shirt, gray slacks hiked all the way up to his elbows.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, the big, I'm talking glasses that make 2 liters look thin, okay?
Oh, yes, Urkel would be jealous.
Oh, yes.
And they start discussing his printout, and they bring up the concept of a back door. No, not the one you need toilet paper for.
Well, the one guy does. And this guy...
It was the nerdy guy who... You
well,
know, the
well, he's the one who mentioned the back door, but the guy who was elaborating on it, I mean... I won't say atypical. This guy's somewhat longer hair, a little bit past his ears, maybe close to his shoulders.
Let's think...
heavier set...
comic book guy from Simpsons.
Except not so heavy.
Yeah, except not so heavy and not so nasty.
But definitely that kind of Yeah, overweight, spends way all his time in his computer chair hooked up to, you know, and his only interaction with the outside world is on an internet
connection.
Now, this, let's make it, you know, really clear. This was pre-internet days.
Yeah, thanks.
This was, you were dialing machine to machine to BBSs. You know, had porn been around, maybe things would have been different for some of these guys.
I was going to say, from what I understand, even back then, you could still talk person to person, PC to PC, but there was no video or anything like that. It was just all text.
Yeah. So, they, you know, explain what a backdoor is.
That
it basically something the programmer puts in that no one else but him knows about. Security vulnerability.
Exactly.
This is why closed source proprietary software sucks. You don't know what's there. All you know is what they tell you, not what might be there. So he then proceeds a massive data hunt as he starts looking for information about Faulkner's maze.
Yep.
Which leads him to Stephen Faulkner, and he starts just referencing
all kinds of shit from this guy.
And uses different things in there to try to figure out what the back door is.
And then all of a sudden she comes over one day after a nice long run where she's sweating slightly, you know, that nice glowing sheen on her.
And this must have been pre-sports bra day because she has a nice bounce going.
Yes, I am stuck with men watching this
movie.
Oh,
come on. We saw you looking and appreciating the bounce, too.
No. But if that's what little, you know, cream in your shorts fantasy you got going on, you go right ahead and go along with that.
Hey, how'd you know I had a can of cream corn right here? It's cooked!
Yeah, thankfully. So yes. We can't taste all the vitamin D and C.
So I'm watching this movie with a bunch of people going, oh, God, I'd so hit that. Damn!
Did you ever hear me or...
Yes, I did.
Anyway.
If you weren't getting laid before, you sure as hell ain't now.
Oh, gee, thanks, babe. Anywho, but she goes up to his room and, you know, starts talking this, that, and the other. She walks in, she's like, where have you been all week? Have you been sick?
No, I've just, yeah.
As he's laying there in a pair of pants, no shirt.
And a pile of paper around him.
Printer paper. Everywhere.
Printer paper, notebook paper. I mean, you name it, it's there.
Okay, I have to make a point, though. I'm sorry, she rings the doorbell, his dad answers the door.
Reading a newspaper, and he does barely looks up.
And she's like, hi, is David here? Oh, yeah, he's up in his room. And she just goes walking past him, goes up to his room, and I'm like, wait a minute.
Hello, where did the whole, may I come in?
Where did the whole, I'm a parent, a very half-naked woman just ran up to my son's. That's not a good thing.
No.
Well, wait. The part you're leaving out is it was the dad who let it happen, not the mom.
Exactly. And I'm sitting here going, did your parenting skills go out the window? Yeah, sorry.
What else you gotta remember? Back in those days, it's the dad's pretty much saying, yeah, my boy's finally becoming a man.
That and also, you could also, one of the things that these guys are not pointing out was, while she was running up the stairs, he was looking very intently.
Oh, no. He looked and then went right back to his papers.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. Never mind.
Two words. Pussy wit.
Yeah, very true, very true.
Yep.
Besides, I doubt that old man was getting any anyway.
And through discussion with him, her, and him showing her the video of Faulkner, he pieces together and tries, oh no, it can't be that simple, tries the name of Faulkner's deceased son, Joshua.
Types it in. Enter.
And he's in.
Welcome, Professor Faulkner.
And he, you know, in another step of showing off, shows a, you know, text-to-speech system that has the computer talking back.
I'm sorry, I have to point out something. The whole, going through the whole, oh, God, Do you have a number for him? He's kind of cute. He's dead. Oh.
She doesn't say... He asks about the number. Tell. She asks, oh, he's kind of, you know, cute, attractive, whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, and then he says something about he was old. And she goes, he isn't that old. He was 41. Oh, yeah, he's old.
My dad's 45.
My dad's 45, and I'm like, oh, God.
I'm 33.
I'm going to be 34 next month, and I'm sitting here going, I get this enough from my...
Expect. Our kids consider us fucking ancient, okay?
Yeah, no kidding.
To us, we predate Yoda.
Predate Yoda.
Wow, so who did Yoda date after you two?
Tell him about...
feel my force deep within you, I will...
Feel the force.
Anyway, get the welding helmet. We broke her brain. We have to fix it.
Not getting late. Anyway. So all of a sudden, boom, list of the games.
And
comes back up.
We've got things like backgammon, chess, biological, you know, this and that, and. Global thermonuclear war.
He types in global thermonuclear war. All of a sudden, computer comes up. Dr. Falcon, wouldn't you rather play a nice game of chess?
Not right now. And he proceeds to play a simulation of World War III with Joshua.
Where he's like, what side should I choose? Ah, let's be the Russians.
And just to explain a little more, because the connection comes not much after this, Joshua is the Whopper.
Yes. Now, plus, now, like I was, like we were saying with the, or like Lord Drakenblut and, who was it again that you did Red Dawn with?
Dragon's Angel.
Ah, that's it. This was a point in time when literally the Red Threat was really, really big. I mean, the Iron Curtain
the
was up.
The perception of it,
well,
at least.
Still, but the Iron Curtain was up. You know, every time the Russians made a move, we made a move. Every time we made a move, the Russians made a move. It was just basically a large game of chess. And...
Yeah. Oh, come on. It wasn't chess. It was posturing, posing, waving a patriotic cock around, trying to prove who was bigger and badder.
When come to find out through everything, if China would have whipped out theirs at the time, they would have whipped up both of our asses.
Only if they would have gone in for a purely ground war.
True.
So.
Yes, it's amazing how much we can remember of the politics of things back in the 80s. Anyway, so they start in, who should we bomb first? Las Vegas. Yeah, that sounds good.
And that was Jennifer's idea. And then they bombed Seattle. And, you know, you can tell kind of hours pass. And Dad yells up, David, how many times do I have to tell you to snap these lids on tight? Because the dog has knocked it over and is digging through the trash.
Yep.
So he just cuts the connection.
Yep. When the whole time, next thing you know, poof, next scene, we're right back in NORAD.
No, this is actually between them and NORAD bouncing back and forth.
Yeah.
As they're freaking out that missiles are launching, fighters are scrambling, subs are launching, and then as soon as he cuts connection, it all goes off back to normal.
And everybody's doing that. Huh?
And then we cut, you know, we'll just cut on to the next scene where the next day he walks home, walks in from school, and, you know, mom's all proud. He's got passing grades.
Actually, her exact words were, young man, I want you to come in here. You have something very important. She's got this somewhat stern look on her face, picks up the mail, pulls out. Your report card for the semester just came in. And you passed. Big smile. She's all, you know, you can tell she was planning that as soon as she got it.
You've also got to remember, he said, okay, what I do this time?
Oh, God, yes. How many times have we said that, people? Come on. Come on.
Today's Monday.
I'm also talking about our listeners out there, too. I mean, God only knows how many of them are going to be listening to this going, oh, God. I have no clue how many times I said that when I was a kid.
I have no idea how many more times I'll say it this week alone, but...
Very true, very true.
Probably more often after this broadcast.
Nah.
Anyway, next thing you know, you see, like, go show your father, go show your father, da-da-da, as he's sitting there reading the newspaper, watching the news. Okay, how in the world was this possible again?
And the thing...
I can multitask rather well, but reading and listening to the news at the same time is not one of the things I can multitask.
It's one of those... What you do is you're reading something, and your mind kind of processes in the background and goes, this is something I should be paying attention to.
Yeah, true.
So, and Dad may not have been... Dad seems like he's more content reading. Mom probably had the TV on for herself.
That's true.
And it cuts over to the news story where it says for about 3 minutes, we were almost at World War III because of a computer glitch.
Yeah.
And he... freaks. He's freaking as oh, it's going. And he goes upstairs.
Gotta go to my room now.
And Jennifer calls him.
Just
because
because
the phone starts ringing up there.
Oh,
it's part
right.
of what he used as his
Isn't
excuse.
Isn't that your phone, honey?
And he gets up there, and she's like, are you listening to the news? Yeah. Do you think this has anything to do with us? Yeah, I think it might.
Yeah, I'm... Okay.
And then the phone... keeps ringing back again and again.
Well,
dial tone.
Well, remember, he does it the first time, it's dial tone, so he's like, okay, why the hell not? Let's see what happens. Puts
yeah.
it onto the set, turns on his computer, and all of a sudden, boom, it's Joshua. Saying, would you like to continue the game? Or actually, saying, the game has not ended.
Yep. And wants to finish the game.
It lasts
Looks
time.
Like you want to say something there, Shadow.
93 hours, some odd minutes, some odd seconds.
Right then and there, as soon as that was said, in my personal opinion, he should have just hung up the phone and disconnected everything.
Well, that's pretty much what he did.
But then again, later on, pan back to NORAD, everybody's going apeshit trying to figure out what the fuck's going on, come to find out it was just a computer glitch. But somebody hacked in. They figured it out. Somebody hacked in. And that it came from, they localized it to Seattle, Washington. I'm sorry, but...
Well, look, for storyline, yeah, they cut a lot of ground between that and them finding him.
Well, no, the thing I was wanting to make mention of is, hello, Seattle, Washington, the home of grunge rock. Living in a place where it rains 93% of the year, I would be excessively depressed. Not hacking computers.
Yep. And so on this scene, he walks out and there's a guy in a suit with a wire going up to his ear. He starts walking this way. Another guy, suit,
he
starts walking.
He walks out of a 7-Eleven.
Yep. Turns, starts walking another way. Van pulls in front of him. And they, you know, read him his rights and take him off to NORAD.
I'm sorry, but, okay, going from Seattle, Washington to NORAD, which is in the Rocky Mountains, Colorado.
Come on, if this, with as much urgency as behind it, you don't think they couldn't have gotten him there in a couple hours.
Yeah, true, very true. Anyway. But they're questioning him, next thing, and boom, back into the conference room with the general, the scientists, the senator kind of looking guys, and they're doing the whole, how the hell could this kid do this, da-da-da.
He's got to be working with someone.
He's got to be working with somebody, blah, 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 and all of a sudden the main scientist guy, what the hell was his name?
McKittrick?
Yes, that's it, Dr. McKittrick. Kind of looks and says, I want to talk to this kid myself. Okay.
He's in the infirmary.
Pan. Guy, security, blue security suit, blue beret, got a mustache going, talking with the nurse, trying to, you know, schmooze his way in.
No, that wasn't yet.
Well, he was trying to schmooze when Dr. McKittrick walked up, and he said, okay, gotta get serious now.
And, you know, McKittrick's, you know, walks in, David's there in cuffs. Oh, these aren't needed. Come talk with me. Yeah. You know, let's go in my office. It'll be more comfortable.
Smoking a cigarette. Oh, God. Yeah, you could definitely tell this was back in the day when you could smoke damn near anywhere you wanted to.
Yep.
I miss those days sometimes.
But, you know, he's, who are you working with? Blah, blah, blah. And something comes up. And he leaves his office, leaving him in front of a terminal.
Okay, I'm sorry, but if I'm questioning somebody in NORAD, guess what? I'm not going to let him get anywhere near a computer.
Especially not when he's been accused of being a computer hacker that gotten into a military computer by a backdoor they didn't even know existed.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's the fun thing we find out. This backdoor was a mistake in routing of a phone number, basically.
Yes, a mistake that they're blaming not only on the kid, but also on the phone company.
Yeah. The kid found it, but the phone company screwed up. Yep. Screwed the pooch.
Yep. Next thing you know,
they gotta have somebody to blame.
Exactly. But next thing you know, he's standing there watching them talk, and all of a sudden he leans down, and as Lord Druckenblut here put it, you just can't resist, can you? You can't resist. Nope, you definitely cannot resist. Ticket, 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 ticket. Hello, hello, Mr. Falcon, or Dr. Falcon. Ah!
And this is a point in time where the computer lets him know that it's been searching for him. And he is not at his registered address.
His classified address.
Registered address.
No, they can't reach him at that address.
Ah, that's true. That's true.
And then it brings up his fake name as well as his real name and an address.
Oh, yes.
I like you, retard.
And the secretary spots him playing on this computer and
goes down and grabs security.
And up comes Tolkien's character, who played Strickland, and yes, he's bald still. Just like they asked in Back to the Future 3, he's still bald.
What? Did that guy ever have hair?
And, him and two, goons, for lack of a better, drag him back to the infirmary, throw him in, lock him in, saying the FBI will be along, and sure, you'll be charged with treason.
Espionage? Oh, no, I gotta talk to Dr. Whatever the fuck his name is.
Joshua's still playing the game!
Yada, 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 and nobody's listening to him. Of course, nobody listens to him. But of course, then again, that's the U.S. military. Back in them days,
are you kidding? Even now, if you were suspected of espionage,
yeah, you'd get treated the same way. I mean, forgive me, but God only knows how many of our listeners have possibly been picked up by the FBI as possible internal terrorists.
Yeah. So.
Okay.
Yep. All right. What's the next scene? The next scene is him managing to break his way out. And this is he basically takes a micro recorder, connects it to the internal wiring for the number pad, and gets the guy to punch it in and records it and plays it back. Okay, this, I will say right now, is probably one of the more improbable things. A lot of the stuff that happens in this movie is pretty probable in my eyes. This one, not so much.
Yeah. Most of those, it actually dealt with actually pressing the actual buttons, not the tone of the button.
And that number can be decoded because it was just touch tones, and apparently that number is 222-333.
Oh my God. Back to the security thing again, guys.
Now, wait. You're just talking about tones being played for our benefit.
True.
So. And he gets out and starts to walk down the hallway because he slides past the security guard who's schmoozing on the woman.
Nurse trying to get in her pants.
And he comes and the elevator comes and stops right where
Bing! And all of a sudden he's scrambling.
And Door opens, he's gone. They walk by as you see the elevator maintenance door shut, and he's going through it, starts crawling through these...
Crawling around, next thing you know, he ends up back in the war room, right behind a friggin',
staircase.
Well, yeah. And basically, through all of this, he manages to walk right out the front door, step on a bus, and get a ride right out.
Why? Because there was a fucking tour group. I'm sorry, but...
Now, the bus did say USAF, so the fact that these may have been enlisted personnel...
From what I understand, they were civilians.
Well, either way, you know...
Still, anyway. But ends up in some backwater Colorado town.
And he calls Jennifer, I need money for a plane flight so I can get to Oregon, so I can, you know, blah, 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 blah. And he gets, you know, to Oregon, and she shows up, too.
Boo! Hi, how you doing? How the hell did you get here?
3-hour drive. And they are off to find Faulkner. And they get to Faulkner, and the first thing you see is a frickin' pterodactyl. Yes, it's a pterodactyl of about 4 foot wide wingspan. Just yep. Soaring along.
And all of a sudden, damn near runs the two of them over.
Remote control glider, folks, shaped like a pterodactyl. Hey. And they explain to, you know, Faulkner what's going on, what the stakes are, and he starts going off about how the dinosaurs just kind of went extinct one day.
Yeah.
And we're going that way, too.
Okay.
And was it Jennifer who challenged him saying, no, it was David saying, yeah. I've seen videos of you. You didn't used to be like this. What was the last thing you cared about?
And all of a sudden, off in the distance. Sorry, but the both of you seem to have missed the last ferry. You're welcome to stay the night. Would you guys like to sleep on the floor tonight? As he's walking up the stairs.
And they just walk right... And David's like, screw this, let's go. We've got to...
No, we have to point out the part where this guy basically says that he's within 3 miles of the closest nuclear target.
Yeah.
And so when nuclear warfare does break out... They're going to be dead instead of wandering around blind trying to figure out what the fuck happened.
Just a millisecond of bright light and poof.
We're vaporized. And we're going to be spared the pain of survival.
And that's the part where, you know, they leave. And they're, you know, thrashing out long in the dark. And then a helicopter shows up. And David's like, that bastard, he turned us in. And then you hear Faulkner's voice over a loudspeaker saying,
Get in! Beep, elapsed time. 9 hours, 23 minutes, some odd seconds.
And now we cut to them sprinting up in an old Willy's Jeep.
Yep. Why? Because all of a sudden, boom, next thing you know, inbound targets. That does it.
They locked.
We've got guarantees here. This is all live. Go to DEFCON 1.
And they are locking down the mountain.
And I'm just wanting to know where the hell they got the military dude that was driving the Jeep. I mean, where the hell did they pick this dude up?
I would imagine that there is a checkpoint low on the mountain
exactly.
And another one higher. So you have to cut, you know, for that service road, you had to go through two.
Believe me when I say this, I've actually been in, not inside NORAD, but I've been up on that mountain when I was a lot younger. Everybody mostly knows that my dad was a long-haul truck driver, and we actually delivered some goods up there that basically we got up there, they full security, we were up there between the moment we arrived and backed the trailer up to the dock to the moment we left, we were up there 12 hours because that was that much goddamn security.
And the guy driving, the gate is closed, he just guns it, hits it. And I give the guy credit that he manages to keep it under control because a Willys has a narrow wheelbase, a short wheelbase. Those things are known and prone to flip and tip.
Yep. He slams through, ends up sliding sideways slightly, runs a guardrail for probably maybe 20 feet, bending the shit out of that guardrail, hits another Jeep and ends up turning it over somewhat kind of catty corner onto its side for the most part.
Yeah. And then they make a mad dash into the mountain right as the 5-foot
thick
metal door.
I swear this thing has probably got to be 20 feet tall.
It's a 10'8" clearance inside the door.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, yeah. 10'8", 5 foot thick. I mean, Jesus Christ, people.
And if you know what these doors were meant for and what they do, when we heard that door shut all the way and click,
it was clunk, 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 clunk. Five locking pins on every side.
And we all just kind of had a, you know, shudder.
All four of us were just kind of, oh, God. Because everybody knows in a situation like that, a door that thick, that heavy, was meant to withstand nuclear blast and nuclear radiation.
And if it's closing like that, they're not expecting to open it
anytime real soon.
Yeah. And you know what? Would you say this is a pretty good place to leave it? Leave, because
yeah,
this is the last 20 minutes or so, and this is where it all kicks up, and we really...
Yeah, but trust me when I say this, people, by that point, hair on the back of my neck standing straight up, I'm going, oh, God, oh, God, oh, God.
Yeah. All right. Final thoughts at this point.
To be perfectly honest, those who are too young to remember that point in time in U.S. history, so on and so forth, if you want a movie that really digs you in deep and basically makes you go, oh, dear God, this could actually happen even today, watch this movie. Trust me.
And it also is one of the more realistic and accurate depictions of hacking in a movie that's ever happened.
Oh, yes. Any thoughts from the other two?
I would say, even for those of us that are old enough to remember this movie, it's great to watch it again because there is so much you really do not remember.
Oh, yeah.
And then watching it all over again. Great kick of nostalgia. I'm sorry. Yeah. Watching those two, you know, watching Ally Sheedy and Matthew Broderick at that age is,
well,
just like, oh, wow.
That, and also the one, going back a little bit, that one scene where they're doing the war game, bombing Seattle and Vegas, and they're both of them are sitting there with aluminum pull tab cans. Nostalgia right there.
Yep. Shadow?
In all honesty, this is a movie that I would recommend to everyone.
Yeah.
If you like suspense and action-packed, this is the movie to see.
Yeah.
Now, okay, now let's hit the rating. Shadow, we'll let you go after Wolf and Nightchild so you can get an idea how we do it. But I paid $9.99 for this movie. $9.99.
After tax?
No. Remember, we don't worry about the tax.
Tax. That's right, that's right.
You know, this one slid under the wire to be a TBR. And we've got a couple planned, folks, that hit the mark dead on in the future. So, let's start with Nightchild here. Out of $9.99, what would you say the value of this movie is?
Oh, I'd give it all of that plus some. I this is one of those movies. I've searched for those great nostalgia movies from the 80s that I love, and I've seen them online for $40 or $50, and you know, my budget doesn't allow for it, but I would say it's completely worth it.
So worth every penny.
Worth every penny and then some.
All right. Wolf,
I'm honestly going to have to concur. $9.99, I'd say add about 3-4 bucks to it. It's easily worth close to 15.
Do you have an idea of how the rating's working? That, you know, we're not giving it 1 star out of 10 or, it, you know,
like that.
You know, if you think that, you know, $8 is a fair price for this $9.99 movie, that's how you'd rate it, Shadow. But what, you know, out of $9.99, how much would you say this is worth?
I would definitely have to concur with Wolf. Definitely. I would pay every cent and more for this movie.
Now, I don't completely disagree, but there's just a few things that seem out of place about this. One, maybe it's my slight jadedness, but the fact that this movie was re-released as a 25th anniversary collection just because of War Games, The Dead Code, kind of doesn't sit well with me. But I can more or less move past that. You know, the subtitles are there. Everything's pretty much there. I would have liked a liner, just something, you know, a little bit of art, a little, you know, maybe some computer history in there. It felt like, for me, as much as, you know, I like this movie, there's just one or two small things they could have done that would have, you know, been well worth it. So, in the end, I'm just going to say 980, because it just missed the mark at, you know, 999.
Yeah.
But I can't completely gripe either.
So,
all right. And as always, we'd like to thank you all for listening.
Oh yeah.
You can, our website is tinbuckreview.net. You can email us at tinbuckreview@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter as tinbuckreview. Now, something I want to bring up to the listeners. We've got some financial situations and issues going on around here. And in a couple months, we are looking at potentially losing our web hosting. And I would like to ask the listeners, if you could, and I hate doing this, but if you could help donate to keep us going for another year as we get, you know, or even to help us pay for the next couple months, we'd appreciate it.
Oh, hell yes.
Now,
I may not be able to get to do this very often, but when I do, I absolutely fucking love it.
And the other thing I'll say is, I don't know what we're going to do yet, but, you know, I'm sitting here planning, and I'm going to bring it up with, you know, everyone else, that the people who, you know, help donate, help support us to get us through, we're going to figure out something that as soon as we can to help repay that kindness.
Oh, hell yes.
You know, we'll come up with something special for the, you know, those people.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and I hate to ask like this, but if it weren't for the situations as they were, you know, if the situations were different, we wouldn't be asking. Yeah. Now, the final thing I have to say is I have special permission from the artist to play the closing track we have. Everyone here has heard it, and the track is by a group called Dual Core. I have permission by Int80, who is the man who does the lyrics for this. And our closing track tonight is War Games.
These computers give us instant access to the state of the world, troop movements, Soviet missile tests, shifting weather patterns. It all flows into this room, and then into what we call the Swamper Computer. Swamper, what is that? The War Operation Plan Response. This is Mr. Richter. Paul, would you like to tell these gentlemen about the Whopper?
Well, the Whopper spends all its time thinking about World War III. 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, plays an endless series of war games.
I am done with everybody!
War games. War games. War games. War games. This is Y2K, man, challenging the law games.
War games. War games.
War games. ICBMs with the distance of all range.
War games,
war games,
war games,
war games. Nuclear submarines, fighter jet warplanes.
War games,
war games,
war games.
Search warrant issue, kicking down war frames.
Again from the start, when computers had tubes. I don't mean the internets, the real vacuums. With diodes and relays to shoot for the moon. Just one system, fill the whole room. Advance back then to write plenty tracks. On top of Colossus, sacked ENIAC. Back in the 50s, before they had help, my AI deceived even Turing himself. We had a conversation that made his brain numb. Where did you think the Turing test came from? NP complete? That's my problem. Natural language is trivial. Process, roll through the years to outthink humans. Frustrated Davis, stump von Neumann. Updated circuitry, improved designs. Like most things in life, I got better with time.
War games,
war games,
war games,
war games.
This is Y2K, man, challenging the law games.
War games,
war games,
war games,
war games.
ICBMs with the distance of all range.
War games,
war games.
War games,
war games. Nuclear submarines, fighter jet warplanes.
War games,
war games,
war games,
war games.
Search warrant issue, kicking down door frames.
More and more systems when I'm given the time. Pushing my way over ARPANET lines. Came out the military, moving commercial. Pursuing consumers, computers now personal. They put me in movies, created a buzz. But still they don't see what I'm capable of. Hackers attack, did you miss the news? Exaggerate facts till they're misconstrued. Let's play a game, dial up war cat. Rabbits and blue shots match my anger. With the Da Vinci virus to capsize tankers. Large fortunes made in small amounts. Take a fraction of a penny out of everyone's account. Fire and ashes, smoke I can cover with the upload of virus and infect the mothership. War games. War games. This is why 2K main challenging the law games. War games. ICBMs with the distance of all range. Submarines fight a jet warplane.
War games.
Search warrant issue, kicking down door frames. Global employment for clients with patience. A new application, human surveillance. Echelon intercept, analyze evidence. Or discard the relevance of signal intelligence. Looking for a flash of light in the black of night. Passing by to satisfy when I'm tracking by a satellite. Out of commission, push to its afterlife. I'm the recent carnivore, lost his whole appetite. Feels so unbreakable, crush those bones. War dial, morphile, touch tone phones. Frequency bounded for how the mic sounded. Improved heuristics for how 9000 hackers could break in and exploit the site. So blast off the nukes out of underground silos. Update the bus speeds as fast as the clock goes. Also, brute war will brute force the launch codes. War games. This is Y2K, main challenge in the law games.
War games.
ICBMs with the distance of all range.
War games.
Nuclear submarines fight a jet warplane.
War games.
Search warrant issue, kicking down war frames.
Thank you for listening to Hacker Public Radio. For more information on the show and how to contribute your own shows, visit hackerpublicradio.org.